when I start with a nice bottom Parshas Yisroi, right in the beginning of Aseres Adibris, Ayla Adwurim Ashat Tadabra B'nai Yisroel. So Rashi says, Ayla Adwurim Loi Pochas V'Loi Yoyser. This is what you should tell Kala Yisroel, not more and not less. Okay, interesting. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu think of saying anything else? So the Imri Yehida says, he brings the Chazal said that whenever it says Ayla is Pusulas Rishoinim, it means to be Memayah, that which was said before. So he brings the Rambam. The Rambam mentions this Bakanti Yisoid, that a person always has to serve Hashem in a Derech HaMamitzah. Not to any extreme. Every middah should be used, but Derech HaMamitzah. And he explains that a person shouldn't think too highly of himself. Shouldn't be a Balgava. And a person shouldn't think too little of himself. Often the Yetzirah tells a person, who are you to serve Hashem? You're not a good person. You did so many bad things already. No hope for you. And other such kind of machshuvas that the Yetzirah tries to make a person feel like, you know, who am I? What is my avodah worth? What does Hashem care? And what I do anymore, it's already a lost case. So obviously that's no good. So gava is no good. I think that's simple. But shiftas riach is not either always good. Being too humble and too, too little by oneself. So the way to do that, he says, when the Yetzirah tells a person that you already committed so many avodas, you already did so many bad things, that's where a person has to be pusless or shoyness. He has to know that in order to be makabel the Torah, in order to be the ayla hadvurim, you have to know that things that happened in the past were already, and a person can always start again, and a person shouldn't be too tzeklapt and too humble because of his past. So he says, Rashi explains that loy puches v'loy yoyser. A person shouldn't be too puches, too small in his own eyes, and loy yoyser shouldn't be bigger than he is. The derech hamamitz of understanding, you know, what a person really is, that's what helps him serve Hashem and use all his middos in the same way of derech hamamitz. It's a big yisoid in avodas Hashem bachlal. When it comes to relationships, it's also a big yisoid. Also a big yisoid. Not to be too this or too that, you know, too nice, too soft, too tolerant, or too tough and too strict and too arrogant and too self-absorbed, obviously. There's always that middle, there's always the balance that works best. One of the areas where I think this is relevant, something we're going to be discussing today, is when it comes to chinuch, and it comes to influence, and it comes to standards of a home. Everyone wants to be mechanuch of their children in a certain way. We all understand that it's very important that parents get across their message of chinuch. We spoke about it recently, how every parent is entitled to be mechanuch of their children the way that they believe in, and they should be giving over what they believe in, what they feel is right. And here's often where it gets too much, to one way or the other way. You know, in every area of chinuch, on the one hand, we want to be mechanuch in a very strong and passionate manner and make sure that our kids only hear a certain message and they don't get influenced by anything else. And sometimes it's not good. Sometimes you have to let a certain flexibility. You can get too tight and you can be hovering over your children and locking them into your own home that they don't know what's going on anywhere else. It's only what you have to sell. And on the other hand, sometimes people have too liberal attitude. It's okay, everything's fine. Let them figure it out. We'll see what they choose. I don't want to force them into anything. Obviously, that's also fall somewhere in the gather of lepoches v'leyoyser. Now, the balance is not always easy to find, but avoiding extremes is easy. In other words, the exact balance is often debatable, and it has to be applied correctly, and there's different opinions about what balance really is, but avoiding extremes is definitely something that I think most people could understand what it is and apply properly, at least to realize that going in any extreme, in anything, when it comes to relationships or when it comes to chinuch habonim, I think any extreme attitude, hoping that, you know, seeing the malice and the benefits of a certain extreme doesn't mean that it's reason to ignore the fact that it's still extreme and it's still, not always the right way to do things. So with that, let me just read a question. There by Gruen. Firstly, thank you for your shiurim on Torah Anytime. I really enjoy listening to them and gain a lot from them. My query is regarding my younger siblings. Our background is a background of childhood, of abuse and neglect and criticism. I've come a long way since then, Baruch Hashem, with a lot of therapy, and have built a strong Torah digger home with my husband, who is full-time in Koil. I'm very thankful that my husband is understanding of my past and has been supportive during my journey. My siblings, one girl and one boy, are still on their journey and often come to visit. They dress and behave inappropriately, but do consider themselves from. I feel that their hashkufas are slightly warped. The older one has a great understanding of human nature as well as a boundary issue. She will often get involved in my shalom bayis and the chinuch we give our children. She has a lot of insight and sometimes has given good advice. Other times, I will find that she will say something that she shouldn't have said. For example, she'll comment how my children would look better if they dressed a little more modern, and things like that. Or she'll explain, for one reason or another, how me and my husband aren't a good match. I feel like she gets in between us and it becomes a fight if we agree with her on a certain controversial topic. I am more similar to her than to my husband, so this could happen often. While on this topic, how do I show my husband that I still respect him even though we disagree? Sometimes she regrets what she says, but it's too late, and sometimes she says that she would even say the same thing again, even though she knows that she's crossing boundaries. My brother usually doesn't get involved, but he's not in a good place spiritually, and my children question different things about his behavior. My children, four children, ages, okay, one's a baby, but going up until 14 years old, as well as all the kids, are very impressionable, some more than others. As with all kids, are very impressionable, some more than others. I do understand that they are both in pain, my siblings. I was also a rebellious teen, and I know just what they need. Loads of love, even though they may be putting on a tough front. I want to show them that I love them and care about them. I want to be able to open my home to them, but is it the right thing to do? How could I turn them away if what they need is love and acceptance? And how do I explain to my children that the way they act, dress, and behave is wrong? My children do not know about my childhood issues, so they will not understand the pain that they're in. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Okay, yeah, a painful story, and definitely a lot of different aspects that are worth discussing, and I hope that many will benefit from this. You know, on the one hand, it's a relatively typical example of where chinuch and shalom bayis issues intertwine, and those who listen to me know what I mean. It's a shame when a shalom bayis issue turns into a chinuch issue and affects the children just because the parents aren't getting along. And the opposite as well, when a chinuch issue turns into a shalom bayis issue because you're dealing with something about your children and now you're not getting along with your spouse because of it. In this case, there's like a third element of the triangle, which has to do with your siblings that are getting involved, which means it seems that you and your husband would probably be getting along and having a method of chinuch that works for both of you, it seems. If not for the fact that there's a third aspect here of struggling siblings who you want to help, and it's affecting both the shalom bayis and the chinuch. And that's where things become a big mess, when everything becomes one big mumble jumble. And very often just compartmentalizing and seeing how each thing should be handled separately instead of trying to solve everything at once makes it a bit easier. So I'll just start by commenting that it's amazing that that you came a long way. You're talking about your own past, your own upbringing, your own experiences, and you came a long way and you built a Torah to go home, and a husband sitting and learning quite a few years after the chasna. It's amazing. And many people don't know how to appreciate that or how to respect it for what it is. And it's also amazing that your husband works along with you and is understanding. It's also amazing. Often it seems like one's more amazing than the other, but I don't know. I think they're both amazing. I think it's amazing that you came a long way, and it's amazing that he's been supportive and understanding of you all along. Very often, each person in such an amazing relationship, where each one is doing something amazing. You feel you're doing amazing by having self-growth and awareness and whatever it is, whatever journey you've been on. And he might feel that, I'm really doing amazing by being understanding of you and your past and not challenging you about it and not whatever. And now I'm dealing with this. Like, don't I get enough credit for just working with you, and I have to be involved with your siblings and your family? And it's funny how each one might look at the other and say, what I'm doing is a little more amazing than what you're doing. You came a long way, okay, so you came to your awakening and you've been on your journey, and okay, so you understand yourself and your past and your present and your future, but what about me? I'm dancing along this roller coaster with you. It's not easy. And you might feel like, okay, so he's being understanding, but my point is just that if only we would know how to appreciate what the other one is doing and realize that as much as to us, our own journeys and our own struggles and our own difficulties definitely seem more amazing to be able to handle and tolerate and overcome, there's always another person involved. And each person in their own way is doing something very amazing and commendable that's worth noticing and being appreciative about. So I'll just keep it at that. I've seen many such situations where it's hard to tell or even judge or compare who's doing a better job, the one who's struggling or the one who's tolerating a struggle, the one who's come a long way or the one who's been there to help the other person come a long way. The one who... I think you get the picture. Anyway, so let me just start with the first point, one at a time over here. Talking about outside influence, right? You have impressionable children, and you have teenagers or a little beyond teenagers, people coming over to the house, behaving in a way that's questionable, if it's going to influence your children, not a question. Now, obviously, if there's a way, and that's what we're going to be discussing, if there's a way to balance the two, to be able to be there for your siblings who need you, and make sure that you're protecting, if that's the word, or be mechanech your children correctly, obviously, if there's a way to balance the two of those, that's amazing. That's what we're looking for. it seems though that you are a bit more understanding of what your siblings need, maybe because of your own experiences. I know what they need, how could I do it if this is what they need, and how do I explain it to my children? You know, they don't understand it. It seems like you are more clear about the fact that this is what my siblings need, and I'm looking for a way to get my children to work along and not be damaged by it. It's important to realize that, you know, if you could balance the two, that's great, and if you can't, then your children come first. Your responsibility to your children definitely comes first. So the question is not, I know what my siblings need, and I want to give it, and I don't see how I can't give it, and now how do I get my kids to work along? I think the question is the other way around. I know what my kids need. They need to be protected. They need to be clear. They need to not be impressed or influenced by things that are not good for them. And that's my first responsibility. And how can I make sure that I'm still giving my siblings what they need without infringing on my children's chinuch? And I think it's just a priority issue that changes the perspective. It doesn't mean that you can't do both, but just understanding what comes first is often a big part of the equation. You mentioned, I'm just repeating it, that yes, all kids are very impressionable. Some more than others, but all kids are impressionable. And if anyone to assume that it's okay, they'll figure it out or whatever, and you don't have to be so OCD about it, it's often a big mistake. There are people who believe otherwise. There are people who believe that exposing children to people that are struggling or behaviors that are questionable, it's okay, they'll understand, and you don't have to be so worried or whatever. It's taking a chance and there's no going back. So I never understand who's taking responsibility. If somebody tells you that they think that exposing your children to certain behaviors is probably not going to damage them, or it usually doesn't damage them, or I'm almost sure it won't damage them, if that's enough for you, I understand. But for me, it's not enough. Are you taking responsibility that it won't damage them? Now, nobody can guarantee what's going to happen with any children anyway. But it's almost like saying, you know, expose someone to something that might affect them. The point is there's no going back. There's no going back. By the time a child is exposed to something, or heard something, or was influenced by something, or learned something, there's not much you can do anymore about it. So are you willing to take that chance? No, again, everything has to be taken into account, obviously. But bringing in siblings whose hashkufas and behaviors, like you call it, slightly warped, I don't know what slightly means. I mean, I don't think you would take someone into your house if they were drunk, or even if they were just a little drunk. You know, when somebody's influenced by something, under the influence of something, you're careful about leaving your kids near them, or with them, or exposed to them. You don't know what they're going to say next. You don't know what's going to come out of their mouth. You don't know how influenced they are. So the fact that it's only slightly warped or not slightly warped is definitely something to take seriously. Now, there are homes that are set up for this. There are kiruv homes. There are kiruv rabbis. There are people that set up their homes in a way to tolerate a certain influence. Their children are ready for it. They're used to it. They were taught about it. They're part of it. They're being makariv. I'm not saying that everyone should try it. I'm not saying that everyone could do it. But it is true that there are certain situations where children are part of the mashpia process, let's call it, and you have hippies coming in and all kinds of people on their journeys coming in, and it doesn't affect the home, it just makes the home even stronger. The home is part of a mission. But very often, that's, first of all, when it's set up that way, and second of all, when it's outsiders, it's people that are totally foreign, and the influence or getting influenced or impressed by them is much less an issue. Much less an issue, because we know, yeah, this is what we're out to do. We're out to find the people who don't know what they're doing and teach them what's right and sing nicely so that they get impressed. When it's family and it's questionable and then the debate's going on by the table and the things that are half questionable and the things that shouldn't have been repeated and they are, is definitely a different dynamics. I'll add another thing that sometimes also people might mix up with this. When people are, unfortunately, chazor shulam, which never happened, when people are struggling with their own child, and again, there's opinions about how to deal with it. I'm not going to discuss it now. There's opinions about how to deal with it. Some G'dayli Yisrael and Elohim and Das Torah will say that a child is struggling, keep him in the house. If anything, send away the other kids. Also an approach. But the point is that sometimes a sibling who you tolerate at home is less influenced than a sibling, I mean the child's sibling, your own child, Chumul Aslan, is less influenced to the other children than a family member, like an aunt or a cousin, or something like that. And the reason is because often children will know that this sibling, this struggling teen, is a problem kid. They see his problems, they see his obnoxiousness, they see how difficult he is, they see a lot of other issues, and they try to be nice to him. And they see the amount of pain he's causing his parents. There's a lot that subconsciously gets set up in a situation where the little kids, again, it could have an influence. I'm not saying anyone's guaranteeing that it won't, And there has been situations where it did. But the point is that sometimes children just they process the information. They realize, okay, this is the one that Tati and Mami cry all night about. And this is the one who unfortunately is messed up. And this is the one who's not in school. And this is the one who's on drugs. And this one, whatever. And they're not as tempted to copy that. As opposed to a cousin, an uncle, or even a neighbor where, oh, if he could, why can't I? They don't see all the other difficulty and they're not involved in the emotional drama and all that. So you're asking me how to give the kids the clarity that these are suffering souls and to pity them instead of being impressed by them. I don't know. It's hard. There's no clear answer. There's nothing I can tell you that will, you know, say it once and all the kids will get it. And if you feel that slowly you could discuss with your children how we can judge what they're doing, even though we do know it's wrong, you can be very clear about right and wrong. You're not going to try to camouflage right and wrong just to make them be understanding and have mercy on someone, because then you're confusing them. If you can be very clear with your chinuch message and slowly give them the understanding of what these teens are going through and why they can't be at home and why Zaidi and Bobby, whatever. If there's a way you can package it and start feeling confident that they're getting it and they're here to help you in it and they're not getting impressed and they'll actually point out to you where, you know, isn't it sad that she doesn't understand the sensitivities of tznius, and isn't it sad that he doesn't understand the beauty of Yiddishkeit and whatever else? If you feel that your children get it, then maybe they are strong enough, and especially because it's your siblings and you do have a responsibility to them and you want to help them, maybe you could slowly form that balance and slowly test the waters and see if you could do it in a way that's not going to hurt them. If you can't, or you didn't come up with a way, or it didn't work, or for one kid it didn't, one kid it didn't, and you do see one of your children or two of them, you know, being tempted or impressed or whatever, then yeah, you do have to remember that your first responsibility is to your children. It happens not to be so different than when it comes to neighbors, like I said, or lahavdil, elef alfei havdulos, when it comes to goyim. How often do we see the children that are impressed by what a goy does, or a different standard family or different community does? And there's also that chinuch message of, this is what we do, unfortunately the goy doesn't have a Torah, or sometimes we say, unfortunately that person doesn't know better. You're not always here to tell your children that whoever doesn't do what you do is not right and not good and bad, and that's the way you're going to get them. Because as they grow older, they're going to figure out it's not true. But on some level, when people unfortunately are estranged from Torah or doing things that is not the way it should be at all, not a derech haTorah, it's fine to tell your children it's sad that they don't know better. You're not judging anyone, you're not putting anyone down, and you're not promoting your chinuch by making others look bad. But it's okay to teach your children that we're lucky, that we're committed to Torah mitzvahs, and our whole lives revolve around it, and everything we do is the way it says in the Torah and Shechnurech, and we're committed to that. And there are people that unfortunately aren't, and we don't have to make believe it's okay. It's a big mistake to say, well, they have their way of doing it. If their way of doing it is not a Torah dig away, it's not a way. If it's a Torah dig away, it's not exactly our way, it's a different community, or different Masoira, or different... That's when it's fine to say, they have their way, we have our way. When someone's not doing things that are Torah dig or halacha dig, there's nothing wrong with telling children it's not the right way. Doesn't mean they're bad people. It means they're unfortunate people. And if children could understand it and process it and live with it, that's fine. If they can't process it well and live with it, then sometimes you're best off protecting your children from that kind of influence that they won't know how to differentiate and understand why them, yeah, why me not. And it's bound to leave an impression on children. So like I said, if you could balance it, and there are ways to balance it, and I was pretty brief about it. My point was just that if you could balance it, go ahead and slowly balance it. Don't just take them into your house and make everything. Test the waters, see what the kids could handle, see what they can't handle, and work along with what works for your children. And if you see that they really do get it, and you want to have your siblings over, the more the merrier, and you want to make them feel good, and you want to give them the love and whatever else that you know that they need because of your own experiences, that's wonderful. Before I go on with what you can do for your siblings, I do want to mention another whole issue over here, and that's the Shalom Bayis issue. It's normal that your husband's feeling challenged. It's normal that your husband's feeling challenged, and the first thing you want to do is not debate with him about why he's feeling challenged. You know, why does it bother you? Why are you taking it personal? Why do you care? It's normal that he cares, and even if it weren't, it was not going to help you to debate someone about why you care about something. But it's very normal that he cares. He finds this, he's taking this personal, that there are people coming to his house, challenging things that are meaningful to him, and seeing his wife side with them. Now you asked me, by the way, off topic, how do I get my husband to be okay with the fact that I disagree with him and still know that I respect him? It's fine to disagree, if that's all it is. Very often disagreements aren't just disagreements. They become personal, they become heated, and they become more relevant. The disagreement itself isn't always such an issue. But what does happen sometimes is that a disagreement, even when it's only a disagreement, it still gets taken more personally when it's not anymore a disagreement between me and you. Now, when I disagree with you, you disagree with me, okay, so we could acknowledge each other's opinions, we could agree to disagree, we could understand each other, we could say it's not so black and white, and whatever else. When there's someone else coming in over here, and I keep on agreeing with that person over you, that's what people take it personally. And I hear this from people all the time. Whenever her sister will say something, that's when it makes it. Whatever I say means nothing. She's allowed to agree with her sister. But the fact that somebody's seeing how, what someone else, it's her mother, it's her sister, whatever, that's what means something, and when I say it, it's nothing, and the other way around as well. When a husband and wife keep it between them and they talk about ideas, not debate ideas, but they disagree about ideas, they discuss ideas, they understand each other's opinions about ideas, they understand where they have different feelings about things, it's not yet taken as personal as when it's always quoting someone and believing in someone and siding with someone and pointing out what that person has is better and that person understands it clearer and that person is more right, especially when it's in your own house. Your siblings are coming over, saying things, and you're agreeing with them. I can imagine that he's feeling, you know, get out of here. Who needs this? Now, as much as you do want to help your siblings, and again, I commend it, and you should do it, and I think you're the right person to do it. Again, your husband comes first. So your children come first, and your husband comes first, and it doesn't mean that you're going to stop pushing people away and hurting their feelings, and being entitled to do whatever you want and not care about how they feel, but you definitely have your first allegiance and responsibility and commitment and loyalty to the people you're living with, and to start saying, well, my siblings need me, and start stepping on the people that are close to you, and the people you, and violating the relationships that you really should be committed to first. It's not a question that if you can't balance it, if you can't balance it and do it the right way, then don't try. And if you could balance it, and you can make sure your husband feels respected, and you can make sure that you're not making anything sound like you see the clarity or the intelligence of your struggling siblings, who are probably, like you said, not chazushum to be mezalzel in them, to put them down, but they're a little drunk. So he have a bentoyer sitting in koil for over 10 years, tolerating his wife's journey and supporting it, again, not in a bad way, chazushum, but being supportive and there for her, and this drunked up teenager who's still finding her life and totally confused is saying something, and she's making more sense than I'm making. Now, it could be it's true. It could be on a given topic. She's more right than he is. But for him to not feel challenged by that is definitely something that I'm not going to expect of him. And I think that you shouldn't either. Now, let me go to the next point over here. Your siblings definitely need love and acceptance. I don't have to tell it to you. You've been there. I'm repeating it because I'm agreeing with you. And I want people to know it. Any struggling teen, all they need, almost all they need is love and acceptance. Maybe they need a little bit of boundaries, maybe they need a little bit of other things, but at that point, when they're struggling like that, they definitely need love and acceptance. Pushing them away and trying to educate them and explain things to them and debate with them is not what they need. They're struggling, it's sad, and you've been there, and very often you're the one that could do it best. Very often you can do it best. The people who've been there, been through it, they know what it is, they can relate to it, they can make the other person feel like they're relating to them and validate them, whatever else, it's not a question. There are many ways to show love and acceptance. Many ways. So sometimes we get stuck on one way or the other way. It gets black and white. And I hear all the time about all kinds of situations where people say, well, if I can't do this, then forget it, I'm not doing it. If that's how you want to take it, that's fine, but that's not the way to do it. Showing love and acceptance to your siblings by either having them in your house and letting them cross boundaries and speak up their opinions and say things that you don't want your children to hear and things like that, or, you know, not doing what you could for them is definitely not two ways of doing things. Like I started off with, avoiding extremes. There's a lot of opportunities. You could go out with them, you could buy them things, you could talk to them on the phone, you could discuss things with them, you could ask them their opinion, you could show them how much you need them and make them feel needed, which is one of the points that I think people often skip when it comes to struggling teens trying to help someone, you know, feel loved. So we're nice to him and we buy him and we go along with him. At the end of the day, he's not stupid, and subconsciously, at least for sure, he's chopping that, okay, so I'm a nebuch. I'm a real messed up kid, and you're being very nice to me. I like it, feels good, but it doesn't make him feel special or needed or important. So it takes a long time for him to really heal, as opposed to when he could feel like he's really contributing and adding something to your life. Not a question to that. But in general, just to think that if you can't have your siblings over for whatever reason, it means you can't give them what they need, that's not necessarily true. You have to brainstorm, bring creative, and find more ways to do things like that. I also feel that it's fine to clarify, and this is the part where people are afraid that it's a contradiction with love and acceptance. And this is even with parents with their own children, but it's a separate discussion. I think it's fine to tell your sister or your brother, I really understand you, I don't judge you, I don't think you're wrong, I might be wrong, we might be wrong, everyone might be wrong. in my home, the way I like doing things, the way I like being mechanech my children, the way I like interacting with my husband, these are things that work for me. I love having you over. You always want to add that. I love having you over. So please come as much as possible and adhere to these guidelines and rules because that's what works for me and my family. I'll appreciate so much if you could take me seriously. Like this, we can have you over as much as possible. We could benefit because we love having you. You could benefit because I think you like coming as well. And then it works for everyone. Sometimes you don't even have to add the ultimatum of, if you can't do that, don't step foot in here again. Sometimes making them clear, not beating around the bush and giving excuses, another big mistake people make. You know, you have to understand that the cheder they go to, they don't like, so you know, a stupid cheder, but let's try to be respectful of the cheder. There's not the cheder. This is the way I like running my home, and I'll appreciate if you could be respectful of what's important to me in my home. Not because I'm right and not because you're wrong, because that's what I like. But be clear about it. Usually when you're very assertive, and being clear about your standards and what you like without being challenging in any way, I think, and then showing appreciation when they are more respectful about that, that might be what it takes to get that balance where they could be respectful and your children could not be influenced the wrong way, etc. It could be a dress code, it could be a language style, it could be a vocabulary they do or don't use, and things like that. I think it's fine. It could be respect to your husband and in consideration to your marriage and your chinuch. Don't blame your husband or hide behind him or anyone else. Like I said, don't blame your husband. That would be a wrong message. And it's like blaming the cheder, it's blaming the school. Don't blame anyone. You give excuses, people chap that you're either not confident about it or that, oh, it's the excuse, so you don't really care. No, this is what's important to me. It's very important. And your husband doesn't deserve that you should blame him either, so I think that's also a very important reason not to blame him. And you can be very open about how a certain comment was taken or how it wasn't appreciated or even the damage that it caused, as long as you're not blaming anyone and not criticizing them for the lack of sensitivity or not saying that they should have known better on their own. As long as it's not coming with anything challenging, I think it's totally fine, you know, to make sure that this is respected. And this comes without any debating. You're not debating the principles or the ideas. You're not making them feel challenged. So the chances are that they'll take it well. And you could appreciate them for taking it well. And I think that might... sometimes, if people are still taking advantage and testing the limits and seeing if, you know, I'll do what I want, you'll probably let me get away with it. Sometimes you do have to add an ultimatum. Sometimes it is important to say, sorry, if you can't be respectful, I can't have you here. I wish I could. Now, even if you can't have them, then you can still add right away. You should know, I love spending time with you, and I'm going to go out with you every Sunday anyway. Even if, for whatever reason, coming to my house doesn't work. You're not cutting off with anyone. The ultimatum is not that I'll send you flying and not let these suffering souls come back to Yiddishkeit and feel at peace, you know, with some family member. But you can be clear with the fact that in my home, this is what's important to me. How often do we do this with our own children? If you can't do this, get away. You know? Oh, your children you can send away, and a struggling thing not. I'm not saying you should ever send away your children. I'm just saying it's fine for you to have standards and things that you like done in your house, and that's fine. So I'm just going to end off again that any decision and any detail about all this should definitely never get between you and your husband. Don't blame your husband for the fact that you have to be tough on your siblings. Don't tell him, you know what I did for you? Well, only because of you, and you didn't even appreciate it. There's nothing to do with him, with you. This is your marriage and your children. Don't blame anyone. Don't get it personal. Don't intertwine the chinuch and the shalom bias and the siblings and the kirev, the choikim and the kerevim. Don't do that. Take each thing and so on. Be respectful of your husband, to your husband, with your husband. Be mechanech your children the right way, and help your siblings. And if you can make them all balance together, it's good. And if not, you definitely have to start prioritizing. I do think, though, stand with that any decision about outside influences or any decision about boundaries or standards or anything that you're not clear about definitely has to be discussed with a Das Torah, with an objective third party who can understand you and the situation and your husband and your family. Very often these things are hard to come up with on your own. So if you don't have somebody there and you're just relying on me addressing this in the class months after you sent in the question, hearing one side of a story, it's a bit irresponsible. I'm just trying to share ideas that I hope will be helpful in this and other situations. So with that, let me just do a short summary of what we discussed. Outside influences are definitely very impressionable and something to take very seriously. I do think your children come first, if there's a choice. I think your spouse comes also first or next. And yes, there's a lot of ways to help your siblings. And with the right amount of clarity and assertiveness, I think you'll be able to get them to feel understood and still have the opportunity to help them, while making sure that nothing is getting off balance. And if they can't, or if the situation is a situation where it can't be balanced properly, like I said, there are choices to make. So like I started, Ayla Advurim, the Puch of Le'oyser, the Torah is given in a Derech HaMemitzah, not an extreme way. So if extreme means that we're going to open our homes to everything and hope that it won't hurt, by explaining my kids something, or we're going to close the doors completely and just shut out other people. On some level, in this area and in every area, when we find the balance and we look for the balance and we're avoiding extremes, that's when we have to make decisions. But going one way or the other and assuming that this is going to work and you know there's something right about it, so everything else will fall into place, it's usually not the way to do it. So part of the balance is not to only care about your siblings, or only care about your children, or only care about your spouse, or only care about yourself. It's all part of the Derech HaMitzvah. And when we do it the right way, and we implement this and apply it properly, this is what Hashem wants us to do. And this is the Yisoid of Kima Torah. This is what will help us miss from Sinachas from our children, get along with each other, live together.